Jesus, he knows my name.
Oh, how he walks with me. And oh, how he talks with me. And oh, how he tells me that I am his own.
You know my name.
Yeah.
You know my name. Yes, you know my name.
And oh, how he walks with me. And oh, how he talks with me. And oh, how he tells me that I am his own.
You know my name. You know my name. You know my name.
And oh, how he comforts me. And oh, how he counsels me. Yet it still amazes me that I am your friend. And oh, how he comforts me. And oh, how he counsels me. Yet it still amazes me that I still amazes me
that I
am your friend.
It still amazes me.
It still amazes me
that I
am your
decided to follow Jesus. I have decided
Jesus,
to follow Jesus.
No turning back. Oh Lord, no turning back.
Though no one goes with me. Though no one goes,
we are followers.
though no one goes with me. Still,
No turning back.
Lord our God, it is our promise at Second Baptist to follow you. It's a decision that we have made. And we know that it's not a foolish decision. Each one of us have decided to follow you. If no other person goes with us, with me, I have decided to follow you. And so I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, will be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. What's in the precious name of Christ, he who died that I may live, he who died that my sins may be forgiven. It is in the precious name of Christ and through the blood of Jesus Christ that we pray. And all the people of God who love God said, Amen. And those who are not afraid shouted, Hallelujah. This morning at the 8 o'clock service, we looked at a foolish decision. It was a decision that was made by a rich man whom the Lord had blessed and his fields had produced plenty of fruit. And being selfish, he uses the personal pronoun I 6 times. He talked to himself, and that's a danger when we talk to ourselves. But sometimes we do need to talk to ourselves. It's just how we talk to ourselves and what we say to ourselves that determines the path that we take. God had blessed him. And God has truly blessed us. Is there anyone in here that the Lord has not blessed? If God has blessed you, the Bible tells us in Psalm 107, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So I just ask you to just speak out today and say, the Lord has blessed me. The Lord has blessed me. And I'm grateful for his blessing. Thank you for sharing with this congregation your testimony of God's goodness to you. At this hour, we want to talk to you briefly from the subject, beware or be careful how you treat the beggars. Be careful how you treat the beggars. Verse 19 of Luke chapter 16 reads and following, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar man named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, neighbor, I'm glad I'm not a beggar, but if I were a beggar, I would want the crumbs that fell from your table. Oh, y'all not walking with me this morning. There are three things that I want to point out. I said to Reverend Jackson, I wanted to make a record of getting out early. So that means I need your help. I need you to say amen. I need you to say that's right. I need you to say press on, preacher. Let me help you here. I need you to say amen if you know it's right. I need you to say preacher, I heard you if I say something that you know is wrong. Oh, come on now, help me here. And then if you don't know whether I'm right or wrong, I need you to say, press on, preacher. Press on, preacher. Some years ago, when I was in seminary, a seminary student, I served a small church in a village in Virginia, in Crozet, Virginia, small hamlet, about 22 miles from Charlottesville, Virginia. I would go down in the summertime to spend the summer harvesting, knocking on doors, talking to members and inviting non-members to come and worship with us in this small church. Summertime, the church did not have air conditioning, so we would have to lift up the windows and put a piece of wood, a board, in to hold the windows up. In the wintertime, we had a pot-belly stove. Somebody knows something about what I'm talking about. All of you weren't born in the city. Some of you were country born. Come on, help me here. And so, press on, preacher. That's one of them city boys talking. While driving down the street, the main street, on a rainy summer day, I noticed that a young girl had fallen from her bicycle with a bag of groceries. I did what anybody would do. I stopped to help. She crying, did not know who I was, but she thought it safe to get in the car with her bicycle and the saggy bag of groceries. Following her direction, I went to her home, got out of the car, knocked on the door, took her bicycle, put it in the yard. When I knocked on the door, her mother said, who is it? And I answered, Bob Jimerson. She said, come in. I came in, and when she discovered that I was the pastor in the city, she said, you'll have to leave. You can't stay here. You can't be here when my husband comes. And I said, why? She said, yeah, my husband does not like preachers, and he certainly doesn't like pastors. I did not know why her husband did not like preachers, and had no respect for pastors. As I attempted to leave and was leaving, her husband opened the door. The woman became fearful. She did not know what her husband would do or what her husband would say. And he asked, "Who are you?" And I said, "I'm Reverend Jemison, the pastor in the city." He said, "Get out of my house. Get out of my house." And so I said, "Sir, I haven't done anything. Your daughter fell." He said, "Get out of my house." And so I left the house. It was like on a Wednesday. That Sunday, I saw him in church. And I said, "We're happy to have our guests worshiping with us this morning." I did not call his name because I didn't know his name. Church was out. He walked right by me, did not say good morning, did not say wonderful message, did not say you flunked. He didn't say anything. He threw his head up and walked out. The next Sunday, he came to church, sat near the back when the invitation for discipleship was extended. He got up and came forward, and when the chairman of the board read the record, he read his name, and he said, "He has come to join our church under Christian Experience." I went by the house to greet him and said to him, "Sir, thank you for joining our church. I don't know what I said. I don't know what the sermon, how you were touched by the sermon." He said, "It wasn't anything you said. It was what you did." Oh, help me, somebody. He said, "Your kindness to my daughter made me take a new view of the church and the ministry of the church and what the church can become." Be careful how you treat strangers. Be careful how you treat the beggars. Most of us have seen beggars on the street, young, old men and women, and sometimes a whole family asking for help. How many of you have seen a beggar with a sign said, "Veteran, fought in the war, but have nowhere to stay"? How many of you have seen a sign that said, "I'm hungry, I will work for food"? How many of you have seen beggars who with a family have said, "We are family and we have no food, we have no place to stay"? And how many of us have looked the other way? How many of us have said, "If you stop doing drugs, if you stop drinking, if you stop spending your money in ways that are not helpful, in ways that are not beneficial, you would not be standing on the street begging"? Had it not been for the Lord on our side, where would we be today? Had it not been for God, who looked upon us in favor and blessed us, you and I could be the beggar on the street corner. You and I could be the person asking for help. But because of God's goodness, because of God's grace and mercy and compassion toward us, we now can wear the fine clothes and wear the fine shoes and have Gucci purses on our side because of the grace of God. It is not to say that God would not be gracious unto them, but sometimes God uses human agencies. He uses you and me to bless the beggar. Now, I did see a sign of one beggar I wouldn't give a dime to. He said, "Why lie? I need a beer." Oh, y'all catch that. He said, "Why lie?" He could have said, "I'm hungry, I need food," but he said, "I need a beer." Well, I must confess, I didn't give him anything. But those who stand, sometimes I drive by, but then after I've driven by, the Spirit speaks to me and said, do you not know that could have been your cousin? Oh, y'all missing it. And I said, "No, it couldn't have been my cousin because he didn't have the same hue of skin that I have. And a voice came back and said, he didn't have to be your first cousin or your second cousin. The text helps us today to look at a man that God had blessed. Don't know whether or not he had a loved one who had $1 million insurance policy and made him the beneficiary. We don't know whether he invested his money in stocks and bonds and Wall Street flourished and now he's wealthy. We do not know whether he had worked for his wealth and had saved. But the Bible says that he was a rich man dressed in purple, dressed in royalty dress. We only know what the scripture tells us, that this man was rich and that he ate the finest of foods every day. But at his doorstep, at the door of his palace, at the door of his home in the Dominion, or his home in Live Oak, or his home in Windcrest, or his home in Elm Grove, or his home in Cibolo, at that door, there was a beggar named Lazarus. The Bible does not give the name of the rich man because it could be you or me. Oh, y'all missed that. But biblical history tells us that his name was Dives. Dives lived a life of wealth. He was rich. It's no harm to be rich. It's no harm to be wealthy. Matter of fact, whatever wealth you have, whatever riches you have, God provided it for you. Can I help you by telling you that every good gift comes from God? It comes from God. Whatever monies you have in your pocket or in the bank, guess what? That came from God's treasury. He blessed you with it. It's the attitude of your riches. It's the attitude of your wealth that causes us to stumble and fall. You remember the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and asked him, what must I do to inherit eternal life? God shared with him part of the Decalogue. He shared with him part of the Ten Commandments. He said, have you robbed anybody? No. Have you murdered anybody? No. Have you not kept the name of God in a positive way? No. All of these things I've kept from my youth. And Jesus says to him, one thing likest thou. Go sell what you have and give to the poor. He must have been one of us who said, the poor you have with you always. And so I'm not going to take my money and give to the poor. I'm not selling out. But guess what? It is my interpretation that God did not ask him, that Jesus did not ask him to relinquish all of his wealth. He just asked him to remember the poor. That to take some of your resources and feed the hungry. Take some of your resources and feed and clothe the naked. Take some of what God has given you and provide housing for those who have no housing. You remember what Jesus said? I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was sick and you came to see about me. I was in prison and you visited me. Lord, when did we see you hungry and naked and without housing? When did we see you sick and in prison? Guess what Jesus said? When you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. It doesn't matter how God appears to you. It doesn't matter about the color of his skin. It doesn't matter about his dress. It doesn't matter about where he lives. When we minister to people, we minister to God. Y'all didn't catch that, did you? So the Bible helps me to understand that when we minister to the beggar, we show a level of kindness. That's the first thing. Do not be kind to those who stand in need of a blessing. When I think about my life, when I think about how God has blessed me, I think about from whence I've come. Some of us forget where we've come from. Oh, y'all missing it. Do you not know that nowadays you can go on a computer and find out everything about folk you need to know? Where they were born, how old they are, who their parents were, if they have a jail record, or if they're divorced. You can find out anything. So you can't hide who you are anymore. People have access to who you are. But one thing they cannot find out is your attitude about those who have less than you have. The rich young ruler, in the text this morning, the Lord had blessed him. He had blessed his fields. His fields had produced, and he had more. And he said, what will I do with what God has blessed me with? What God was trying to say to us in that text is that you are blessed to be a blessing. You are blessed to help somebody. That's why the songwriter said, if I can help somebody as I travel along life's way, then my living shall not be in vain. There's a level of kindness that we must extend to persons in need. The level of kindness comes in common courtesy. Treat everyone with courtesy. Courtesy is becoming less common in our culture. I must say some of the slogans characteristic of our time bother me. Statements like, look out for yourself at someone else's expense. Develop clout. Use your strength to get what you want. Do to others before they do to you. Negotiate from power. Negotiate from power. That reminds me of Maslow's statement, if the only tool you have is a hammer, you tend to treat everyone if they were a nail. Negotiate from power. Don't get mad. Somebody said, I don't get mad. I get even. What if God got even with you? What if God got even with us for the sins that we commit by passing up the beggar, by not witnessing to the beggar? Can I help you? Young man, the other day I was washing my car. Young man came up. I really wasn't washing it. I had driven it through the washer, and I was drying it off. He came up to me, and he said, sir, would you like for me to dry your cough, to wipe the cough for you? I said, no, man, I got it. He said, I will do it for a quarter. I said, okay, you can have this rag. Y'all missed it. I wanted to help him, but not at great expense to me. I said to him, sir, go ahead. He wiped the car, and he stuck his hand out, put his hand out for the quarter. And guess what? I'm searching for a quarter and didn't have a quarter. All I had was a dollar. Can I help you here? Sometimes God makes us do what we don't want to do. He makes us give what we don't want to give. So I put the dollar in his hand. And he looked at me and he walked away. The next day I saw him standing on the corner with his hand out. And he came up to the car. He recognized the car. He came up to the car. He said, "Sir, thank you for helping me last night." He said, "But I need something today." And I said to him, "Can I give you Jesus?" Oh, y'all missed it. I can give you Jesus, who can help you with all your needs. Guess what he said to me? "Can I get in your car and ride with you while you talk to me about Jesus?" Oh, help me somebody. Here is the beggar that met me the night before, but the next day when I wanted to share Jesus with him, he was receptive because of kindness. You and I need to be careful how we treat the beggar. For the beggar needs to know about Christ. And once he or she knows about Christ, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, help me somebody, he is a new creature. God makes everything new when we come into a right relationship with him. So show a level of kindness, a level of courtesy to the beggar. Say hello to the beggar. If you don't have anything to give, give that person a part of you. Hello. How are you doing? Sorry I don't have anything to give you today. If I see you tomorrow, I'll have something. You and I need to be kind and courteous to those who are less fortunate than we are. Secondly, my brothers and sisters, be careful how you treat the beggar. Be kind, common courtesy, but then show a level of empathy. The word empathy means to feel with others, to feel with other people, to walk in their shoes, to show compassion for them. You remember Jesus' disciples? You know, church folk are hard folk. They just hard. Amen. You don't speak to me, I ain't speaking to you. I'm still mad because the usher board chose a green suit to wear. And I ain't ushered since they changed suits. Come on, y'all know it's the truth. I don't like the way they sang that song. So whoever's singing it, I'm not going to say amen to that. I don't like them, nor do I like the song. I'm talking about church folk. I'm not putting a dime in church until he leaves. You're going to go broke holding on to it. I don't like the way she plays the piano. Do you have a degree in music? No. Can you play? No. But I know what my ear tells me. I don't know about us. And then we say, I'm going to heaven anyhow. But you're not going to heaven anyway. Oh, y'all missed it. You may think you're going to heaven anyhow, but you're not going to heaven anyway. If you think you're going to heaven anyway, look at the story. Here's a man begging. Here's a man that has to give to him. Even crumbs from his table would have fed him. But he gave him nothing. The dogs were more kinder to him than the human being. The dogs come and licks his sores to give him comfort in his pain and in his hurt. But here's a man that could have sent him to the doctor. The doctor could have written a prescription, and the rich man could have paid for what the man needed to make his body well. But he gave him nothing, no level of courtesy, and no sense of empathy. He didn't even say, "I'm sorry that you're in this condition." The Bible says that the poor man died. Look at this. Death is an equalizer. No matter how rich you are, you're going to die. No matter how poor you are, you're going to die. Death is an equalizer. The rich die, the poor die. The Bible says that when the poor man died, Lazarus died, that the angels took him, buried him up to heaven, placed him in heaven, that is symbolic of the Abraham's bosom, that is symbolic of the heavenly place. Oh, I can see Lazarus now living in air condition, walking streets of gold, walls of jasper, there where a tree whose leaves are good for the healing of the nation. No more crying, no more death, no more being hungry for food, no more light bills to pay. He's in heaven. He's in a glorious place made for the saints of God. He's there. Guess what? Angels became his pallbearers and buried him to heaven. He had been singing that song, "One Glad Morning When His Life Is Over, I'll Fly Away." He had been thinking about, there is a place, I've heard of a place where we shall never grow old. Now he's there, in comfort, having a good time. He now has on shoes. I got shoes, you got shoes. All of God's children, yeah. Got shoes, has on a robe, not made by Neiman Marcus. But guess what? He has on a robe. He's in that number. Oh, yeah. John said, "I saw a number." Question was, who are these? These are they who have come through hard trials and tribulations, who have had their garments washed in the blood of the Lamb. Then I saw a number that no man could number. I don't know about you, but I want to be in that number that no man can number. But then the rich man died. Ooh, Lord have mercy. The Bible said that in hell, he lifted up his eyes. I wish I had time to talk about hell. I know a little bit about hell down here because I catch it. But But I'm talking about that lake of fire that burns continuously. I'm talking about that place that was created for Satan and his imps. That place that is created for the unbeliever, those who have not called on the name of Jesus Christ. For the Bible says, whosoever shall call on his name shall be saved. But you got to call on his name. You got to reach out for him. Can I tell you something? There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for me. Just call him. Can I tell you, Jesus saves. And he saves to the utmost. I'm preaching already, y'all. In hell, not Hades. Hell. In hell, H-E-L-L. Go home, tell folk, preach a curse this morning, talk about hell. Well, that's the problem in the church now. We don't talk about hell enough. So I'm not trying to scare you into heaven, but I'm telling you, if you don't give your life to Christ, you will spend eternity in hell. He's in hell. Guess what he says? Would you permit the one that I mistreated, the one that I didn't treat, to dip his fingertips, oh yeah, in some water and touch my scorching tongue, that I may be cool, that my thirst may be satisfied? But guess what? Abraham answered. Probably Lazarus would have said, Abraham, give me permission, bring the bucket of water. But Abraham said, look, there is a gulf. There's something that separates heaven from hell. There's something that separates goodness from evil. Life continues after death. That's what this text tells us. You can choose today whether you will spend eternity in the kingdom of God, where Jesus Christ sits on the right hand of the Father, making intercessions for you and for me. Will God say to you, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Been faithful of a few things. The money I gave you, you shared it with the poor. The money I gave you, you shared it with the church. The money I gave you, you help the need, meet the needs of a lesser personality than yourself. Abraham said he can't do it. There is a gulf. There's a separation. And then the man had one more request from hell. Y'all missed it. He said, well, let him go back and tell my brothers and my sister, don't come here. Don't show up down here. It's hot. I see all of my kinfolk, all of my enemies, all of them are here, but I'm missing somebody that I thought would be here. Oh, y'all missing it. I thought old brother John, old Reverend Jimerson, would be in hell. But guess what? I knew how to escape. I gave my life to Christ. At an early age, I found in him a resting place. And he has. I feel my help coming here. He has made me glad. Can I help you here? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Esther, Rahab, and all the others of the Old Testament, who helped Christ and who helped God, who believed and had faith. They died not seeing the promise of Jesus Christ coming in the flesh, not seeing the Redeemer coming in the flesh, coming as man and God. Very ousion, the very substance of man and God. But
they believed the promise. And the Bible tells us that when Jesus Christ died on Calvary, he did die. Can I tell you something? He did not faint. He did not swoon. He died. The Bible says that he gave up the ghost and died.